Going Green
on The Claire Byrne Show
with Repack. Repack members, repackaging the future and valuing resources. Find out more on repack.ie.
Been some really big moves in the fashion world over the last 7 days, because the fashion company Shein, who I'm sure you're all familiar with, has reportedly acquired the clothing retailer Everlane in a $100 million deal. It's causing waves because of the really different business models of the brand. One, of course, associated with fast fashion, but the other one, Everlane, is associated with sustainability. So the lines, when they're blurred in the fashion industry, how can you know which brands are best to suit your needs? Well, to discuss all of this, I'm joined by sustainable fashion expert and founder of So Sustainable, so as in sewing, Miriam Keegan. Hello, Miriam.
Hi, Claire.
And now, that piece of news that I mentioned about Shein buying Everlane, mm-hmm. can you tell us a bit more about Everlane?
Yeah, I mean, Everlane is, well, like, has been copyrighted as claiming it's radical transparency. So it's a sustainable brand, mainly more known in the US than in Ireland. And it has been making clothes for a good few years where they share the factory list, they explain what the materials are, etc. So they were trying to be as sustainable as they could possibly be. But obviously, this now changes that trajectory quite a bit.
And I'm sure people are finding it, you know, quite confusing or perplexing that mm-hmm. Shein would buy a brand like this, or that this brand would allow themselves to be taken over by Shein.
Yeah, well, I suppose everybody can be bought, maybe, in a sense, but they were in a lot of debt. They were, I think, 90 million in debt, and it was a $100 million deal. So I think that was probably one of the reasons why. But, you know, at the end of the day, I don't really care about what the brands are, what they're doing. It's actually what it does to consumers at the end of the day that I really care about. And I think this is really important for consumers to understand what this means, that if you are a more conscious consumer, are they actually being hoodwinked essentially into buying something or giving their money towards something that they never signed up for essentially.
Okay, so you're saying we should worry less about the brand and what they're promising for mm-hmm. us and what they're committing to. It's more about our own behaviours, is that what you're saying?
A little bit, but I think, you know, I don't personally talk about brands myself in public, because, you know, I'm not, who am I to judge who buys from what, you know what I mean? So, but I think it's when you are buying from some brand, always kind of have your own due diligence when you are researching them. So, for example, you know, we have, you know, when you look at a website, you can see that they could claim something that they're super sustainable, and then there's some others that are not. So we have two different spectrums when it comes to fashion, where we have greenwashing and greenhushing. So, you know, when you are on a website and you're looking at, well, are they good? Are they bad? We don't know. You look at the claims that they're making. Are they verified? Are they saying, you know, we have had a third party, you know, assessment done on our claims, or is it just like we're self-proclaiming ourselves as being sustainable? And then you have other brands who are doing best practice work and they're completely not saying anything on their websites because they're afraid of the scrutiny. And that's where we have to, as shoppers, kind of like take everything with a pinch of salt when you're looking at the websites, is to understand, okay, they might be a little bit better maybe with their materiality, but are they paying living wages to their workers? So when you see the word sustainable, it can be so like large and what that actually means. So it's just, you know, when you see this kind of deal happening, you know, you saw years ago when people were paying money into their pensions and stocks, and they were paying for, you know, fossil fuels and arms that they were not consciously wanting to fund.
Yeah.
Exactly. So now we have to do the same with fashion.
Okay, so pairing it right back then, and I know you've said this in the past, that the best place to shop is in your own mm-hmm. wardrobe, but people are buying from reselling platforms now, like Vinted, which is one of the best known, mm-hmm. feeling that they're not feeding into the system mm-hmm. of fast fashion. Are we?
To a degree, yes. You know, I think I've seen it myself even, where, you know, you're looking for a wedding guest outfit and you want something brand new, because I even had it on my Instagram this week where I was repairing a hole from a Vinted item that I got, and I was like, I have full intentions of reselling this, by the way. You know, I'm going to wear it once and I'm going to resell it. But I had bought it secondhand from the get-go, so I feel like I'm adding to the circularity, but I'm still feeding into that overconsumption, that I'm only as good as the last outfit picture I put up on my Instagram. And, you know, and I really empathize with people, because like everybody feels the same. So it's a tricky one. But I think when you look at reseller platforms, you're still adding life to the garment. And I think if you hold on to your items in your wardrobe for an extra 9 months, you can actually reduce the carbon footprint by 20 to 30%. That's been a statistic that's been shared. And, you know, if we can do that and hold on to our garments or even extend the life cycle of them even further, then I think that's a huge benefit. I don't think it's still the fast fashion model, and I don't think it should be compared to be the exact same. Like, I conducted Ireland's first ever life cycle assessment on an Irish-made tweed blazer. And, you know, it's Irish-made, but the wool came from New Zealand, Argentina and Norway, I believe. So that's 50,000 kilometres the wool took to get to the consumer's hands. And, you know, that's just the reality. We don't have the raw materials in Ireland to be producing made in Ireland every garment. And I know you had a segment yesterday about made in Ireland. And, you know, I just think we have to just examine this by zooming out, essentially, and understanding that the system is fractured massively. And we just have to take our time with the decisions we make with what we're buying.
And buy less, essentially.
Yes, yeah.
So even if you think you're buying from a brand that tells you it's sustainable, mm-hmm. even if you're buying secondhand from one of those reselling platforms, yeah. you really need to take a breath before you do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I'm even wearing today like a scarf around my belt because on Pinterest, it's like the new thing. But it's actually my late grandmother's scarf. I was like, I know this is a fleeting trend, but I'm actually going to root now in the wardrobe between my mother's and my own and find something that I can use, because I know that this trend will go and I'll have bought something new and I'm like, what am I going to do with it now? So now I've kind of, and it's my own style. So I just think people need to have that more creative flair to how they approach their fashion.
I really feel, I don't mean to be defeatist about this, but I see my own social media feed with, you know, fast fashion retailers from all over the world pushing. And yeah. we have seen the amount of clothes that are being discarded. Mm-hmm. It is really pushing against a massive tide, isn't it? Individuals yeah. trying to take action here.
Oh, absolutely. But I think it can be done in such a simple way. Like, you see all the marketing ploys that they all do. You know, you see the email campaigns that come in every single day into your inbox. They're not treating you like a relationship. They treat you as a statistic. And because they know a certain percentage of the consumers that they send these emails to every day will convert into actual paying customers, they're going to keep doing it. And why not? And then they see, you know, on some of these apps, the gamification of fashion. So you'll see these spinning wheels of all these like deals and you're like, oh yes, I'm so lucky I got this, you know, discount of this, whatever. And it's just, it's just perpetuating this consumption and always needing to buy more and more. And I think once people zoom out and see themselves not as these hamsters on this wheel anymore, and be like, this is how I'm going to stop, you know, adding to this industry, in the sense of just buying more by unsubscribing, deleting those apps maybe, or at least just even slowing down and maybe waiting a week before you buy something if you really want something.
Yeah, because ultimately if you wait the week, the likelihood mm-hmm. is that you will decide that you don't want it.
Exactly.
It's a really good strategy, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
We don't need the stuff, Miriam. Yeah. We don't need the stuff. Thank you so much for coming in.
Absolutely.
Good to see you again. That's Miriam Keegan from So Sustainable.
Going green on the Claire Byrne Show with Repack. Repack members, repackaging the future and valuing resources. Find out more on repack.ie.